The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Every major theological battle boils down to either the authority of Scripture, and that takes in, you know, sexuality, marriage, family. The ultimate issue with all the homosexuality, the gay, the lesbians, same-sex, the transgender, LGBTQ thing, the major issue there is the authority of Scripture. Can we take God at His word concerning marriage, family, gender, sexuality? Or do we just interpret it the way we feel like interpreting it? But then the second major battle has been the meaning of the cross. What does the cross mean? And that's why, and I realize some of you really got bent out of shape at me back in about the controversy of the shack. And I hate to dredge it up again because it was so controversial, and some of you, just a handful of you, but some of you got really angry at me because I was extremely critical of the shack. It was a runaway bestseller. It was this huge blockbuster hit. And then there was the movie, The Shack, which was a huge success as well. And I was just as critical of the movie as I was the book, because it takes away the real meaning of the cross. The cross, yes, was a demonstration of the love of God, the greatest demonstration of love the universe has ever known. But it also was a demonstration of God's anger, justice. God poured out His wrath and His justice upon Jesus. Yes, God is at times an angry God, and He is always a just God. And because of that, because of His very nature, God has to punish sin, or He can't be God. And He did that at the cross. He poured out His wrath and His judgment for us upon Jesus. And yet there is a huge movement in the evangelical world that is trying to take away the penal aspect of the cross, the judgment, the wrath of God, the sin aspect of the cross. No. The cross was just a demonstration of love, 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 love. Yes, it was. But it was also a demonstration of a righteous God pouring out His wrath. Yes, on His only begotten Son. Yes, that is true. But you take that away, you have no salvation, folks. You take away the full meaning of the cross, you have no salvation. And that's why the shack and that portion of evangelical Christianity that is trying to remove the penal aspect of the cross, there's no salvation there. And so I go back to Union Seminary and the president, Serene Jones, in a editorial, or pardon me, an interview with Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times, published over Easter weekend. And she says, those who claim to know whether or not it happened, she's talking about the resurrection, are kidding themselves. Crucifixion is not something that God is orchestrating from upstairs. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus said, you can't take my life. I lay it down. Jesus is portrayed as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Yes, the cross was orchestrated from above. Yes, The president of Union Theological Seminary absolutely denies that. She goes on, the pervasive idea of an abusive godfather who sends his own kid to the cross so God could forgive people is nuts. Isn't it interesting? That's exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish nuts. Well, the King James says foolishness. Same thing. Isn't that fascinating? That Paul said people would look at the cross and say this preaching of the cross is nuts. It's foolishness. Paul said that 2,000 years ago. And the president of Union Theological Seminary has made that prophecy come to pass. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, and sadly and unfortunately, that's the president of the seminary, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, the Gentiles, that would be this woman, foolishness. She says, for me, the cross is an enactment of our human hatred. But what happens on Easter is the triumph of love in the midst of suffering. Isn't that reason for hope? Now, earlier, she said she doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. So where is there hope in that? Oh, and then she goes on. She's not done. Listen to this. This is the president of a seminary founded in 1836 on the infallible word of God. She said in the interview with Nicholas Kristof, I don't believe in a God who, because of prayer, would decide to cure your mother's cancer, but not cure the mother of your non-praying neighbor. We can't manipulate God like that. Oh, it gets worse. She says, I find the virgin birth a bizarre claim. It has nothing to do with Jesus' message. The virgin birth only becomes important if you have a theology in which sexuality is considered sinful. It also promotes this notion that the pure, untouched female body is the best body, and that idea has led to centuries of oppressing women. She absolutely denies the virgin birth. That is ridiculous. Oh, she's not finished. Nicholas Kristof asked her, the president of a major American seminary, what happens when people die? She says, I don't know. There may be something, there may be nothing. My faith is not tied to some divine promise about the afterlife. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Scripture says. She says, my faith is not tied to some divine promise about the afterlife. Then she was asked how we can reconcile an omnipotent, omniscient God. And she says, quote, at the heart of faith is mystery. God is beyond our knowing, not a being or an essence or an object. I don't worship an all-powerful, all-controlling, omnipotent, omniscient being. That is a fabrication of Roman judicial theory and Greek mythology. She doesn't even believe that God is a being. Not omnipotent, not omniscient, not omnipresent. She says, God's a mystery. I don't know who or what he is. I don't worship an all-powerful, all-controlling, omnipotent, omniscient being. That is a fabrication of Roman judicial theory and Greek mythology. And then here's the saddest part of all. Kristof asked her if he can be considered being a Christian while he doesn't believe in the virgin birth or the resurrection. The president of the seminary said, well, you sound an awful lot like me, and I'm a Christian minister. Now, Union Theological Seminary in New York is totally, completely apostate. The president doesn't believe in heaven, hell, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the virgin birth, the blood atonement. She does not believe in one single fundamental truth of the Christian church. Not one. She does not ascribe to one single fundamental doctrine of the Bible. Not one. Not one. There is nothing Christian about Union Theological Seminary anymore. Nothing. But here's my point. They didn't get there overnight. In 1836, Union Theological Seminary was established on the infallible Word of God. Their goal was to promote the kingdom of Christ, and every single professor had to affirm in writing that they believed, and I'm quoting again, from the Constitution of Union Theological Seminary, the Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, to be the very Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. They began compromising sometime during the early 1900s. And through the years, they compromised a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. They chose to go down a road of compromise, and the first 5-10 miles wasn't bad. They compromised on little minor issues, not big. And then they kept on that road and went 100 miles and 500 miles, and they compromised more. And then they went 1,000 miles down that road. And now in 2019, they believe nothing. They believe absolutely nothing. But that is the road that they chose back in the early 1900s. Politicians have to compromise. Couples have to compromise. But when it comes to biblical truth, we dare not even travel 10 feet down the road of compromise. No, no, no. We stand firm, solid, and true to the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
All right. I wasn't planning on talking about this. We're going to go for some very heavy theological discussions to emperor penguins. Yeah. Because during that break, I was just, cruising the news like I do on most of the breaks. And I came across a CNN story. Yes, the CNN story says, okay, where am I at on that? All right, I'm going to have to scroll back down because I got this up. Okay, the headline says, the world's second largest emperor penguin colony has nearly disappeared. Big, big headlines. And you read the first paragraph and it's climate change, climate change. World's second largest penguin colony has just about, well, in fact, let me read the first sentence of the article. The world's second largest emperor penguin colony has almost disappeared, according to a new report, raising fears about the effects of climate change on the species. Researchers from the British Antarctic Survey say in a report that thousands of emperor penguin chicks drown when sea ice in Antarctica's Weddell Sea on the edge of the Brunt Ice Shelf was destroyed by storms. Not global warming, some freak storms. And most of the little chicks, and that's sad, you know, that's sad. And because of that, the emperor penguins in this particular area have not reproduced much. And according to satellite imagery, they haven't been there, but from satellite imagery, it looks like that colony is in pretty bad shape. Now, remember the first sentence that I read to you? Climate change, climate change. I got to go down way, 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 way down, 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 down through the article, and I read this, quote, "However, it's impossible to say whether the changes in sea ice conditions at Halley Bay are related to climate change." The first sentence says it was. And you got to go way, 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 way down. It says, well, but we don't know whether it's climate change or not. And then you have to go way, 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 way down towards the end of the article to find out. However, the scientists have also discovered some good news. While the Halley Bay colony has almost disappeared, the nearby Dawson-Lambton colony has increased more than tenfold. So one colony is having some trouble. They have no idea whether it's climate change or not. Some freaky storms that hit. But another colony has increased by tenfold. Now, I'm not a scientist. Don't pretend to be one. But if the other colony was being wiped out by climate change and global warming, wouldn't that apply to the other colony? And they have increased in the last few years tenfold. All righty. But again, the lead of the story is they're dying. They're going to be extinct. There aren't going to be any more. And it's because of climate change. Well, we're not sure it's really climate change. There were some freak storms for a couple of years. And then you go down a little longer and says, however, the actual population of these penguins has, well, it's increased tenfold. Oh, my goodness. Any wonder why people don't trust the mainstream media and this whole global warming thing? I don't know whether I'll get to it or not. I have another story in my stack. I'll look through the break, and it just blows huge holes in the whole global warming thing. I'll look. All right, we're going to talk Boy Scouts. We're even going to talk Uber. Yeah, it's a strange Uber story that I'll get to when we come back, so don't go away.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.